Welcome to the Rivers of Living Waters broadcast, and Merry Christmas! It's the time of year where we celebrate the birth of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We celebrate by giving gifts, and do you know that Jesus himself gave us so many wonderful gifts because he chose to be born as a baby? Listen as our pastor explains.
The Westminster Catechism says that man's chief goal is to know God and to glorify him. You were created for his purpose. This gift of love progresses from just a distant, authoritative creator to a benevolent master who lovingly places each of us in his creation. And he gave you a special gifting and a special calling, a particular plan, and a divine purpose. You are so loved that he brought you here, not just by him, but for him, for his glory. But then love progresses from not just by him, creator, and for him, for his glory, but then it says that we were created at this time, it changes. At Christmas, he changes the rule book. He changes the course of history. It was for him, by him. Now it is God with him. We can walk with him. The word Emmanuel means God with us. Love progresses to by him, to for him, but at Christmas, love progresses to with him. Or better yet, he with us. John chapter 1, verse 14 said, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Creator of all things became like one of his created beings, so that he could lead us into Godhead with him." God's purpose is that you would become a Christian. The word Christian, Daryl, means little Jesus, little Christ. God wants you to become like him. And you can only become like him because Emmanuel became like us. We were created by him. We were created for him. But now he took on the form of human flesh and he walked with us. And he can be with us now. God wrapped himself in human flesh. God wrapped himself in flesh and walked among us. Jesus lived among us. Jesus loved among us. The Creator stepped out of the heavens zillions of miles away, and he came down at Christmas to the dark, moist womb of a teenage virgin. The Almighty became veiled in flesh. The Creator was conceived and grew inside of a woman for 9 months during the birthing process. God so loved us so much that he limited himself from omniscience, omnipresence, all-where present at all times, and he sealed himself into the embryo of birth. And for 9 months, he who flung the stars into the black velvet space now inhabited the dark amniotic sac of a peasant girl. But then comes Christmas. And the darkness that he had enveloped himself in for 9 months was broken. The water broke, the baby came out, and there in human form was Emmanuel. With us. Not by, not for, but with. And Christ was born. He was born in a manure-filled cave. The maternity ward was tended only by an adolescent husband named Joseph. It was not sterile. Can you get this? Joseph cut the umbilical cord of Jesus. Think about it. Emmanuel, God with us. God came to a weary, travel-worn, rejected teenage couple who were leaving because of a tax problem and didn't get returned home because of the shame and guilt that people tried to place on them when Mary said, "I am a virgin having a baby." Can you imagine the shame she had as this young teenage girl somewhere, maybe as young as 13, 14, 15, we don't know her exact age, but we know she was a young teenage girl, and she was pregnant. when she was engaged to a man, never knew the man Joseph. We don't know how old he was. He was probably a 16, 17, 18-year-old boy. And in their little community, their little gossiping women talked about Mary and how she must have had sex before marriage, which was the cardinal sin, which, by the way, she could have been stoned for. And so they fled at the behoots of Caesar Augustus to be taxed, but then they never came back for years because they did not want the shame to follow them. And God had prepared a dwelling for them. Now born in this stable, wrapped in swaddling clothes, lay the God of creation in the form of a 9-pound baby boy. We don't know how much he weighed. And he was placed in a feeding trough. Now next Sunday we'll have a manger scene set up here. And there'll be horses and cows and pigs around, or whatever it is. It won't be pigs because they didn't have Jewish. Jews wouldn't have pigs. There'll be some animals, sheep and whatever around the manger scene. And it'll be nice and pretty and it'll look good. But that wasn't the scene where Jesus was born. God with us, he came to a stinking cave. It wasn't even a grotto, as you see. It was a cave. And it was hay and you know all the things that happen in a barn. That's where Jesus was born. And he was wrapped in those swaddling clothes and laid in the manger. Swaddling clothes were clothes that were one of two things. When Jesus came, she was riding on a donkey because she was 9 months pregnant and had to go 90 miles on a donkey. Think about that. And so she came to the inn, and we know the story how the inn maker said, "Hey, there's no room here for you," which was probably a good thing, because when you and I think of an inn, we think about the Holiday Inn, the Comfort Inn, we think about those places. That wasn't an inn. It was a big old house, and they'd have one bed and five guys sleeping in the bed, strangers, head to toe, who didn't have showers or bathrooms. And so it was probably grace that God did not allow the innkeeper to allow her to stay in that environment. Can you imagine giving birth in the hotel room with five stinking, sweating, whatever they were, men or and women crowded in a room, and Mary over in the corner having to give birth? I don't think it would have been good. So instead, he let him be born in this manger, or in this stable. And then these swaddling clothes were clothes like we would. Y'all remember, now see, we grew up poor, and back when our first child was born, we didn't have Pampers. We had cloth diapers. Anybody remember those days? We had cloth diapers, and those cloth diapers had one thing in common. They stank whenever he stunk. Amen? But those were what we would call swaddling clothes today. They were diapers. And they would wear these clothes. They would put these clothes and they would wipe down the beast of burden. The donkey that she rode on had the diaper, if you will, around it. And then whenever they would stop, they would wipe down the donkey and get the sweat off the donkey. If you've ever been to the farm, my son has a little farm, and they sweat. The animals sweat when you put pressure on them. And so that's what the swaddling clothes were. They probably were clean swaddling clothes. Somebody say amen. But swaddling clothes nonetheless. They looked like big bandages, diapers. Now, it said that he was wrapped in these swaddling clothes and laid in a manger. You and I have an American idea of that now. But his arrival was heralded by ordinary shepherds. The lowest individuals in the societal hierarchy were shepherds. You know, you had your kings, priests, doctors, lawyers, Indian chiefs, if we call it today, managers, CEOs, and then way down at the bottom were shepherds. And God chose to tell the shepherds, the lowest in society, they were the first to know and the first to see Emmanuel, God with us. Why those shepherds? And why that place? Well, Bethlehem was known as a place where Passover lambs were tended to. So the lambs that were on the hillside were not your normal lambs. These were grazed and they were groomed to be the sacrifice for some Jewish family's sins one day. So in the field, all these lambs that will want sheep and lambs that will one day be sacrificed are born and live, and it was those shepherds who tended to the sacrificial lambs that God said, there's a baby born, and he's going to bring peace on earth. He's going to be the ultimate Lamb of God. Whenever the angel said, and this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and laying in a manger, to you and I, that's a nice sign that Linus in Snoopy's Christmas tells. But the fact are, those shepherds knew immediately what that meant. Because, see, when a baby lamb was born, they would take that lamb out, wipe it down with swaddling clothes, and they would examine it very carefully. And if it had no signs of birth defects of any kind, if it was absolutely perfect, then they would wrap that lamb in other swaddling clothes, wrap its legs because they're real weak and feeble. If you've ever even known a sheep today, they have very weak legs. And they would wrap those almost like you would with an ace bandage when you broke your foot. And they would wrap it, and then they'd take that lamb, and they would take it up to this nice particular place that was going to be the incubator, if you will, of the Passover lambs. And inside of there was multitudes of mangers. And those mangers were not wooden, but they were hewn out of a rock, hewn out of a stone. And they would place that sacrificial lamb, or what would be the sacrificial lamb, wrapped in swaddling clothes, and put it in that manger. And it would be a tight, confined space so that nothing could get to it to hurt it, and so that he or she, the lamb, could not hurt itself. So when the angel said, you'll find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger, they knew immediately, this is the Lamb of God that will take away the sins of the world. And so that was announced and heralded to angels, and so they came quickly, and when they saw the babe, they bowed before him and worshipped him. The manger, the swaddling clothes, they were important, because it would indicate that one day this baby would be the acceptable sacrifice for the sins of all the families of the earth. And it would not just be God for us, it would be God with us. God's perfect Lamb, Jesus, was destined to be the perfect supreme sacrifice for all our sins. And this baby didn't stay small. Christmas is about the birth of Christ. That was God's secret weapon. Satan expected his nemesis, his adversary, to be born in the palace. Satan expected maybe to be a general that would come and fight him for dominion over the earth. But instead, God sent a little innocent baby boy born in a stable. But that little innocent baby boy grew up to be a man. On his mother's side, the perfect Lamb of God, he experienced all the normal stressors of life events that you and I do. As Jesus was with us, Mary changed his diaper. As Jesus was with us, Joseph taught him how to hold a hammer and drive a nail. Jesus played kickball with the neighborhood kids. I wonder if he ever lost. Jesus went to synagogue and he learned memory verses. And I bet you he didn't go to sleep. And I wonder how Jesus felt when the Pharisees and the rabbis talked about the coming Messiah. And he said, yeah, I know that guy. He kept it a secret all those 33 years. He got tired. He slept. He hungered. He burped. He sweated. He pooped. He worked for a living. He lived an ordinary life. God was with us. He dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. In John 1, verse 1 through 3, it said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Think about it. The Creator, the one that was in the beginning, was now in the womb of Mary. Think about it. The Creator, the one that made her, would one day save her. The one who heard the first splash of the ocean waves, the one who saw the first twinkle, twinkle, little star, the one who lit the sun, the one who designed everything and created everything, and he is from the beginning, the high and the holy, the almighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. God became flesh, and he dwelt among us. What an event Christmas is. the progression of love from by him, for him, with him, to the culmination of love we see in verse 27 is the preposition, and this is good, in him. And look at verse 27 of Colossians. It says, to whom God would have made known unto us the riches of the glory of this mystery among Gentiles, which is Christ in you. The hope of glory. The Christ in us, the hope of glory. Oh yes, creation is wonderful. Sustainability is wonderful. Glorification is wonderful. Oh, but sanctification is marvelous. He went from being way distant creator to being with us on earth, but now we have the opportunity to have Christ in us. Not just with us. See, with us was reserved for the Jewish people in the New Testament time. You and I can only read the accounts of the gospel and be inspired by the heavenly pen, but we didn't see him. We didn't walk with him. We didn't hear him. We have no concept of what Jesus looked like. We see all kind of pictures. By the way, one thing for sure, Jesus was not an effeminate-looking, blue-eyed, blonde-haired guy. If anything, he looked a lot like Osama bin Laden. He was a Mediterranean skin. He was, you know, brown-skinned. He probably had afro hair. He had dark hair. We don't know exactly what he looked like, but he wasn't like Hollywood plays him up to be. But whatever he looked like, we don't know how tall he was. We don't know what clothes he wore. We don't know what made him laugh. We don't know what he did the past time when he was sitting around with his disciples. Well, they didn't always just talk about God and stuff. I wonder if they played dominoes. How about go fish? I don't know. But what was his favorite food? I know he ate fish and bread. But what else? Who knows? We never saw Jesus heal the sick. We never saw him open blinded eyes. We never saw him fix a leper's wounds. And we certainly didn't see him raise Lazarus from the dead. We believe he did. But those who were with him tell us about him. But get this. We have the privilege now of him being in us, not just among us. Even better than living in the New Testament era to witness his original earthly ministry is the fact that now, today, you and I can have him not just with us, but bless God, he lives in us. And Paul said, this is the mystery of God. See, at verse 27, it says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of his glory and the mystery among the Gentiles. We receive Christ, and that's a mystery. God was with the Old Testament Abraham. He was with the prophets of old. He was with the disciples as they journeyed for 33 and a half years. But not, they just had him with them. Now you and I can actually have him not just with, but in us. Living in us, abiding in us, residing in us, guiding us every day. My wife and daughter went with me to eat last night. So as we get out of the car at the restaurant, I'm talking to God, and I'm walking up there. My daughter said, Daddy, are you talking to yourself? And I said, no, darling, I'm praying. And you know what she said? Yeah, right. And I said, listen, I talk to God all the time. And my daughter said, you just need to admit you're schizophrenic and you talk to yourself, Daddy. That's what it is. I said, no, I'm really talking to God. You know why? Because God is not with me, God is in me. And he walks with me and he talks with me. And he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. See, it's not just God with us now. It's God in us. He wants to reside in us, to guide us, to talk to us. And it's not just, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. That's the model prayer. But God said that we are to pray without ceasing. Just talk to him. Why? He's there. He hears us. He's in us. And this is, what did Paul say? It is the mystery of God in us, the hope of glory. You see, Mary had him in her as a fetus. We have him in us as a force. He is our power, and he is our powerhouse. Luke in Acts says it this way in Acts 17:28, "For in him we live, we move, and we have our being." That's who is in us. We live, we move, and we have our being in Christ. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. Now, how is that possible that God can live in us? He went from being the creator by him, the glorifier for him, with him, Emmanuel, Christmas, and now he's in us. Christ must be invited into our lives. Christ came to earth and grew up and died as a sacrificial lamb on the cross, paying the price for our sin, so that you and I could invite him in. How do you invite Christ into your life? This is the Christmas season. You invite him in by the confession of your sins, which means basically you confess you have a need. Why did Jesus come at Christmas? So that we could have him live inside of us. Remember Adam and Eve broke God's commandments and sinned in the Garden of Eden, plunged all of us into the abyss of death. Wherefore, by one man, death passed upon all men for all have sinned. And so we have to admit that we have a need, that we need this Christ at Christmas. We need this lamb that was laid in the manger. We need this Son of God that died on the cross. And so we say, Lord, I'm sorry, I'm a sinner, I've broken your commandments. And then invite him to forgive you of those sins. Let him become your Passover lamb. You must believe that he is the Christ, the Son of God, and that he came at Christmas. He was crucified on what we call Good Friday. He rose again on Easter Sunday, and he did so for your sins and for my sins. The true gift of Christmas is not just hope, but it's love. Love created us by him. Love designed us for him. Love brought him here with us. But love offers us his very presence in us through the forgiveness of our sins. Christ came as love incarnate at Christmas. Oh, so that we can have him live in us his life. But you must accept his invitation. You must accept his pardon. Because without it, you and I are destined for hell. True story, President Andrew Jackson offered a pardon to a mail robber. His name was George Wilson in 1830. George Wilson was convicted of robbing the Pony Express and stealing from the United States government. He was offered a pardon by Andrew Jackson in 1833. He rejected it. He said, "I did not vote for him, and I will not be pardoned by a Republican president." He rejected that official pardon. And so it went to the United States versus Wilson, the Supreme Court in 1833, and Wilson was ultimately executed after initially serving some time, as the pardon was never officially accepted, and the key to the case said by the legal Supreme Court justice is this: a pardon requires acceptance for it to be valid. If you do not accept the pardon, then you have rejected the peace. The outcome was that Wilson never accepted the pardon. It was written, it was signed, it was official, but he rejected it. And because of that, he paid his own price for his own crime. And people listening to me today, here in the church, all over the world, by whatever means you're listening to us, you'll do the same thing as George Wilson did. The pardon has been written. God created you. God made you for his purposes. God brought Jesus at Christmas and let him live for 33 years. God allowed his son to be sacrificed on the cross for you. And all you have to do is say, "Lord, I want that gift. I want that. Please come in my life and save me and change me and make me new." But you can reject him. You have to invite him in to get the pardon. My wife and I have had the privilege of going to the Holy Land and going to the actual city of Bethlehem. And once you get to Bethlehem, they've built this huge church over the exact spot where history and what tradition tells us was the exact place that the manger lay. And as you go in this great big church, you walk in, and behind the high altar, there is a series of steps. Remember, darling? There's a series of steps that goes down as they've excavated down to where they believe the actual manger sat. And on that manger set, there is a gold or silver, I can't remember which one, star in the ground to indicate this is where the Christ child lay. You can walk through the doors of the church. It's free. You can walk around the church and see all the different pictures and beautiful edifices they have. But to get to the manger, to get to the cross, to the place where the Lamb of God was, they have a door that's only about 3.5 feet tall. You have to stoop down and get down as low as you can so that you can bow before the manger scene, humbly before the Christ of Christmas, and say, "Oh God, I believe this is where you were." If you don't bow, you don't get to go. And tonight, today, this moment, it's the same thing. Christ is with us, and Christ wants to be in us. But we have to humble ourselves and bow before Him and say, "Oh Lord, I believe. Forgive me of my sins. Come into my life and save me." And that one simple act of humility regarding Him as Christ will give you the greatest gift of pardon that any man could ever have. And then that mystery of the Gentiles, Christ will come in us, and that will be your hope of glory. See, when we get to heaven, we won't stand up and say, "Look what I've done. I made it. Thank God I made it." No, we'll bow before Him and say, "Thank you, Lord, that you came at Christmas. Thank you, Lord, that you died on Calvary. Thank you, Lord, that you rose again from the dead for my sins." That's the gift of love. That's what the Christmas story is all about. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you made us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you designed us for your glory. You made us by Him. You designed us for Him. You came at Christmas with us. But all thanks be unto God that you have made a way that you can come in us, dwell in us, and make your presence known in our life through pardon of sin and through the Holy Spirit living in us to sanctify us unto you wholly. That's amazing. The greatest gift that anyone could ever receive at Christmas is this gift of eternal life given by the Creator God. And I pray now, Lord, as people listen all around the world, and especially in our church service this morning, if they don't know Jesus in the full pardon of sin, they might humble themselves, like we had to do to go to see the manger scene. May they humble themselves and come to the door of Jesus and say, "Please forgive me. I accept your gift." In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's edition of the Rivers of Living Waters broadcast, brought to you by the Making a Difference Network. We would love to hear how God is using this ministry in your life. Please write to us at Living Waters Broadcast, 911 Treasure Place Southwest, Concord, North Carolina, 28055, U.S. of A. Or email us at maddenworldwide@gmail.com. Again, that's maddenworldwide@gmail.com. Or visit our website, maddenworldwide.com, for more information. Thank you for tuning in. If you missed the first part of this sermon on Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern, join us on Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern to hear this sermon in its entirety. Until then, we'll be praying for you and your family, that together we can make a difference around the corner and around the world.